All right, Ruth chapter number 3. You heard it work, didn't you, David? Didn't you hear it work? Didn't you hear it work? It worked. Didn't you hear it? I don't know. Ruth 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay down and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And she said, "Let it be not known." And he said, "Let it be not known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know the matter, how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to read your word tonight. And we pray, God, that you would give us the ability to understand it, to come to a proper understanding of it, not just from a physical sense, but God, from a spiritual sense. Reveal yourself to us, speak to us, cause us to hear. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, if you'll remember the last time we were together, we saw that Boaz had provided a place for Ruth to glean during the entirety of the barley and the wheat harvest. As we come to chapter 3, the gleaning of the harvest is over. And she had been allowed to glean in the fields of Boaz during the entire barley and wheat harvest. She has gleaned much, and her gleaning has given her and Naomi plenty to eat. What we have also seen is that the hidden hand of God has been behind every event that we have looked at and every event that is recorded for us in the book of Ruth. It was God who had orchestrated every single event that eventually led to Ruth's coming to Bethlehem with Naomi. We ask the question, what is God's purpose in bringing this Moabite woman to Bethlehem? Well, the reason is so that she can meet Boaz, who is a reminder to us of Christ. So what God is doing is he is bringing Ruth to Boaz. And God's hand has been working in Naomi's family for over 10 years to accomplish this encounter that Ruth has with Boaz. It's amazing to me that God can work over 10 years getting Ruth to a place to meet Boaz. You know, Jesus said in the New Testament, no one comes to me except the Father draw him. And when we think of our coming to Christ, do we ever even consider everything that God did to prepare us for that coming? How God operated in our lives to come and how long God operated in our lives to come? We don't really ever consider that. That God's hand had been working for a long time to bring us to Christ. It is amazing what God will do to bring us to Christ. And then when Ruth met Boaz, the only thing she experienced from Boaz was in the context of his kindness and his grace and his generosity. He protected her and he provided for her without reserve the entire length of the harvest. But the purpose of God is not only that Boaz will be her protector and her provider, but the purpose of God is that Boaz will be her redeemer and will be her husband. Say amen. He protected her, yes. He provided for her, yes. But God aims at Ruth and Boaz entering into a deeper relationship than simply a gleaner to a field owner. Now, isn't that God's plan for us? Instead of just being part of God's creation, we come into a deeper relationship with Him through the work of salvation in our hearts. Now remember, the law of God provided for the next of kin of the widow's husband to redeem her, to buy her back, and then to marry her so that the family name could continue on. And the next of kin had responsibility to support, help, and redeem the widow if he was in line to be kin. There was an obligation at play here. Even if Ruth was a foreigner, there still was an obligation here. The purpose of the law was to make sure that God would persevere for himself a people and that the Jewish line would continue and that the property that he had gave them would stay in their hands. That's what the law was about. Now, the amazing thing here, if you think about it, if you were anything but Baptist, you might get up and run. Ruth was a what? A Moabite. She's outside of this law affecting her. The law affects Jews, not Moabite people. Say amen. The only way that this law would include Ruth is if she had married a Hebrew, and that that Hebrew would die. You see the importance of the famine? You see the importance of the move that Naomi's family makes to Moab? You see the importance of the deaths of Naomi's two sons, one which was married to Ruth? God working here. And Ruth comes under the provision of the law of the kinsman because God sent Naomi and her family over there and her son married her and got her under the law. It wouldn't have happened if that wouldn't have happened. So let's move forward here and talk about three things that we find out in this chapter about this deeper relationship. Number one, it's not Naomi's proposal, it's Naomi's prescription. Naomi's prescription. While Naomi, I think, had been eating the bread from the grain that she baked from Ruth's gleaning, she had been thinking. And I don't think she just did some thinking. I think she might have done some investigative work on her own. She cares for Ruth. She wants the best for Ruth. She's already told her that Boaz is a relative of Elimelech. And I'm sure she said, and he's single. He's nice, he's kind, he's handsome, and he's single. Did you hear me? He's single. Say, so Naomi, what is she doing? She is seeking rest for Ruth. She wants Ruth to be well. And that means to have a husband who will take care of her. So what Naomi is doing is she is trying to find a husband for Ruth. She's seeking to find security for Ruth. And Naomi is concerned that it all be well with Ruth. She cares about Ruth. Now, there have been all kinds of things said about chapter number 3. Most of it from a depraved American mindset. Most people can't read chapter 3 without dirtying it up. But I'm here to tell you chapter 3 is not a dirty chapter. It's not filled with improprieties. There seems to have been a tradition or a ritual. And so Naomi tells Ruth that she needs to take a bath, and she needs to anoint herself, and she needs to put on some nice raiment and get down to where Boaz is. Just a reminder, this has nothing to do with it, but girls, if you want to attract a boy, take a bath, put some perfume on, and wear some nice clothes. Say amen. And there, when she gets there, she's to wait until he has finished eating and drinking. And then she is to note where he is lying down. Note where that, mark the place where he lies down. And then go and cover his feet and lay down there at his feet. And do that, and when he wakes up, he'll tell you what to do. Now, it's important, I think, for Ruth to mark where he is lying down because it's dark and she doesn't want to lay at the feet of a wrong man. Say amen. There have been those in the Bible that got the wrong woman, right? She has to come to Boaz. She has to go to Boaz and she must lay at his feet. That's the traditional ritual here. And when Boaz awakes, he will see you at his feet. He will know the symbolism of what you're doing, and he will tell you what to do. So Naomi has given Ruth true counsel. If you ever want Boaz to be your redeemer, if you ever want Boaz to be your husband, you have to go where he is. You've got to submit yourself totally to him by lying at his feet, and you have to do whatever he tells you to do. And it's amazing that this comes from the lips of one who was bitter and angry at God. Now she is eager to point her daughter-in-law to this very God that she was bitter and angry with. And God's kindness has shown her the error of her assessment of God. And Ruth responds, "All that thou sayest to me I will do." And she also says, "Everything that he says for me to do, I will do." So if Ruth wants Boaz, she must go to him, surrender herself to him, and she has to do all that he says. Amen? I think that's exactly the same thing we ought to tell people who are seeking a relationship with God. Would be to God that we would give people the same counsel who show evidence that they desire to have God. Instead of pointing them to themselves, let's point them to Christ. The way to have a relationship with God is through Christ. And you must go to him, not popping your chewing gum as you walk down an aisle. You must go to him, humbly surrendering to him as Savior and Lord. You fall down at the feet of God. You fall down at the feet of Christ. And whatever he says do, do. That's better than ask Jesus in your heart, isn't it? It would be far greater for us to tell them to cast themselves down at the feet of Christ and ask Christ to make them his own, right? That's what Ruth is told to do if she wants Boaz to be her redeemer. Number two, Ruth's proposal. The first one, Naomi's prescription. This is how you need to, what you need to do to get Boaz as your redeemer husband. Ruth's proposal. Now verse 6 says that she went down unto the floor, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law had bade her to do. You can almost hear as she goes from the home down to the threshing floor, you can almost hear her singing very faintly, "I'm going to the threshing floor and I'm going to get married. I'm going to the threshing floor and I'm going to get married." That was good, you know it was. Now, Ruth is a Moabite. She's not familiar with this Jewish tradition or this Jewish process, but she does trust the providential hand of God, right? She doesn't have all the details of what's going to happen. I mean, you go, you find him, you mark him, you lay down at his feet. When he wakes up, you do what he tells you to do. There's not a whole lot of details in there, right? She has to go on faith. Say amen. And she has to be able, prepared to do what she's told to do. Just go and do, by faith, go and do. All she knows is to go and then do whatever Boaz says for her to do. And so Ruth launches out in faith toward the threshing floor. And what Ruth is basically going to do when she comes to him and lies down, uncovers his feet and lies at his feet, is what she's actually doing symbolically is proposing to Boaz. Women used to do that. She's proposing to Boaz, or she's making claim of him as her redeemer. And when she asked him to pull the cover of his garment over her, what she's actually doing is asking him to take a corner of his garment and spread it over her, for he is her near kinsman. And Boaz knows exactly what she's asking. He knows exactly what she's asking. And he responds with delight, right? He responds, he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." So he responds with delight that she even wants to marry him. He says she could have any man. You could have any man. I'm surprised you didn't choose a younger man, whether he be rich or poor. And he says here, Boaz says, that her coming to him shows more kindness than the kindness she displayed in taking care of her mother-in-law. So she has come to him. There is no other man that she seeks. It is only him that she seeks. Only him does she surrender herself to. Only him does she desire to marry. It is him she wants to spend the rest of her life with, and it is only him. You haven't followed any other man. Just Boaz. And in coming to him, she has turned her back on every other man. So what Ruth does here is she gives herself to Boaz by committing herself to him and to him only. That's really what salvation is, right? I'm coming to Christ and I'm committing myself to Christ and to him only. It's not an addition to my already busy life. It's I am committing everything to you. I am laying at your feet, surrendering everything to you. And the question is not, does Ruth want him? The question is, will he have her? Say amen. We've got that all backwards in theology. We think it's our accepting God. No, it's God accepting us. Will God have her? Will God have us? Come, fall down at the feet of Christ, do whatever he says. Pray, he'll have you. Ruth has come to Boaz. She has committed herself to him as her kinsman redeemer. But a kinsman redeemer has to be willing to redeem. Say amen. The question is, when I come to Christ, will he be willing to take me? Because he has a million and one different reasons not to. Our relationship with Christ is never about us accepting him. It's always about his willingness to accept us. And we come to Christ and we throw ourselves at his feet, and Christ always accepts those who truly cast themselves at his feet. Now, everyone that comes to Christ doesn't come that way. They all look the same, walking an aisle or praying a prayer, but they don't all come that way. But if someone truly comes and throws themselves at the feet of Christ and says, "Make me your own," Christ accepts them. We come to Christ to propose ourselves to him. Say amen. What we have to do is we have to propose ourselves to Christ. I want you. I desire you. I love you. I surrender to you. I propose to you. See, in our society, it's always the groom proposing to the bride, but in Eastern settings, it was often the opposite. So the wife, or the wife-to-be, the woman, she proposes to the man. We ask Christ if he would, in his grace and mercy, have us to be his bride. You see, we think God has to take us regardless of whether he wants us or not. No, no, no. God wants us. That's why he takes us. God, would you have me, by your grace, by your mercy, would you have me be your bride? Would you cover me with your clothing? Will you redeem me? Would you make me your own? And the only hope that we have is that he came to earth, took upon himself flesh, so that he could be sought as our kinsman redeemer. So coming to Christ is more like a proposal than it is a demand. Say amen. Here I come, Christ, unworthy to be your bride, but I'm coming and I'm throwing myself at your feet in absolute surrender to you. Cover me with your clothing, because your clothing, it makes me worthy. Say amen. Cover me. I surrender. Make me your bride, please. That's salvation, isn't it? Number three. Notice thirdly, Boaz's promise. There is a small problem, though. You see the problem? What's the problem? There is a... That thing should be not going that way. See if I can get it. There we go. The problem is there's another nearer kinsman redeemer. Boaz is not the nearest kin that's still alive. There is a man who is nearer kin than Boaz. There's someone else who has first dibs to be Ruth's redeemer. And so Boaz tells Ruth before she goes to sleep that the nearer kinman might be willing to redeem her, or then again, he might not be willing to redeem her. But he promises her, if he will not do the part of a kinsman, I will do the part of the kinsman. He promises her, he may not be willing, but let me tell you something, Ruth. I am willing. If the other man won't, I will. And the wonderful thing about Christ, as we said, is all of those who humbly and truly come to Christ, he is willing to do the part of the kinsman for them. All of those who truly come to Christ find acceptance in his grace and his mercy. Say amen. All who truly come. So, he sends her back the way that every man should send a woman back home, with 6 measures of barley. Say amen. Sends her back home. Now, the thing about this, she didn't glean for this. Say amen. She didn't have to stoop down to get this. It simply was given to her, right? You understand the difference. A bride doesn't have to glean. She has her husband, and her husband gives to her. Say amen. Things are already looking good. So Ruth runs home the next morning with 6 measures of barley and tells Naomi all that happened to her the night before. The 6 measures of barley were simply the pledge of more to come. Then watch what Naomi says. This is what I would think. If I was Naomi, this is what I would say. We got to get busy. If there's a nearer kinsman out there, we have somehow got to do something to dissuade him wanting to be the redeemer. Because if he chooses to be the redeemer, then Boaz is out. We've got to do something. Let's get busy. Take up all that makeup and don't take a bath for 2 or 3 days and wear something terrible. We'll tell him, here she is. You want her? Don't come too close. She's a little foul smelling today. But Naomi doesn't say that, does she? What's she say? Sit still. Oh, we have a hard time with this in churches today. Sit still. Sit still. How can she sit still? How can she rest knowing something had to be done? How can she not work when she knows work is to be done? She can sit still because this man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. You hearing me? When we come to Christ and when we surrender ourselves to him and we propose ourselves to be his bride, there is nothing for us to do. Say amen. Except rest in him. It is the hardest thing to get South Carolina Baptists to understand. There's nothing for you to do except rest in Christ. And the reason we can rest in him is because he's not resting. And he will not rest until he finishes the thing. Say amen. Do you think Ruth and Naomi can figure out a better way to fix the problem than Boaz can? Do we think we can work and make it better than Christ can? The fact that he is not resting until he finishes it is the very reason that I can rest. And so if somebody asks, well, why aren't you doing something? You got to be doing something. Go, I don't know why you're not doing something. You got to be doing something. Just tell them, I'm not doing something because Christ did it. He's not resting. It means I can rest. Boaz is going to make it happen. And he's not going to rest until it does happen. So we can just sit and rest in him because he is going to make it happen. Because Christ has worked and is still working for me, it means I don't have to. We are simply to sit still and trust him and his ability. There is nothing more to do because Boaz is doing it all. There's nothing left for us to do to secure our salvation because why? Jesus has done it all. Let's just sit and rest in the finished work of Christ. Because everything that's needed for me to leave this earth and go into the presence of God has already been handled by Christ. And even now, he's interceding on behalf of his saints. He's working for us now. I'm not working. I'm to be obeying. Say amen. Not working. Say amen. What I do is out of obedience and love, not out of trying to gain salvation. If I'm going to be the bride, Jesus got to do it. If Ruth is going to be Boaz's bride, she's going to have to sit tight. Boaz is going to do it. Say amen. Yes? That's the promise. That is the gospel. Amen? Propose to God and then trust in His work for you, not your work for Him. Say amen.